This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Game Night with Matt Perrault.
It is Game Night, SB Nation Radio, on a Wednesday. Our first guest of the night is the pride of Weston, Massachusetts. From my neck of the woods, a guy that I have followed for quite a long time. He is the voice of the UFC. He is John Anik. John, Matt Perrault, how are you, bud?
Pleasure, my man. Yeah, I figure you're a Boston guy. I mean, I got to hop on these airwaves one way or another. So good to be with you tonight, sir.
Well, let's talk about this card here, because this is an unbelievable card. And I wish and I hope that people who are combat sports fans understand what's going to go off on Saturday night. You've been around this company for a long time. Just how good is this card Saturday night?
It's about as good a card as we can put on paper. And it might sound like promotional hyperbole from a guy whose paycheck is cut by the UFC. But the last 16 fighters that are going to make the walk Saturday night are all ranked, if you include Tanya Evinger and Chris Cyborg, who will compete for the UFC's vacant women's featherweight championship. But this main event certainly is what, you know, stirs the drink here. Daniel Cormier and John Jones. If it's not the most heated rivalry in UFC history, it's certainly in the top three. I think it is certainly the biggest fight that we can make at present that doesn't involve Conor McGregor. And I think a lot of people are interested to see what type of John Jones returns. You know, he's fought once in 30 months. He's only fought once since that first meeting with DC, and that was January of 2015. And DC has been very active and very successful in Jones's absence. So, you know, as deep as the card is, it's hard not to continuously circle back to this main event for obvious reasons.
Yeah, three titles on the line. We'll get to all of them here in the interview, but obviously the main headline and John Jones coming back after his one-year suspension. We thought UFC 200 were going to see this, and then right before that fight was supposed to happen, we got it kind of loosey, took the football away from us, and now we've waited all the way here until July of 2017 for this to happen. Is John Jones, in your mind, is John Jones finally ready to put the off the octagon stuff, the police stuff, the testing, all the problems he's had? Is that all in the past now for John Jones in your mind?
It's a difficult question to answer, because as much as he is saying the right things and seemingly did the right things during this training camp, he's also not afraid to tweet about his after party after the fight that will be happening outside the United States so that TMZ can't find him. So I don't think you can necessarily take the partier out of John Jones, but do I expect him to clean up his act when it comes to USADA and everything that could potentially delay or disable or terminate his UFC career? Absolutely. I really do think that he'll get over that hump. You know, I felt like I knew it all. I was 27 years old, and for me, it took me a while to mature. So I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt as far as that's concerned. He also recently lost his mother. I think that's something that is going to mature him and buoy him, certainly on Saturday night. But even talking to him yesterday, and I had a few minutes with all of the fighters, he may not walk in the octagon much heavier than 217 pounds. He was 213 pounds, 8 over on Tuesday. And historically, he hasn't been that light. So he is really taking this opportunity seriously. And I think he understands, too, that maybe he did take this UFC contract for granted in the past. You know, certainly I think that if he can get a win here Saturday night and he can stay active and fight every 3 or 4 months, he has the chance to do what a lot of us thought he would do, and that's to become the Michael Jordan of mixed martial arts, with endorsement deals and selling out Staples Center one or two times a year. I really still think that he can hit that ceiling. He's just got to toe that line, and hopefully he can do it.
John Anik, voice of the UFC. He'll call UFC 214 on pay-per-view, joining us here on Game Night. So the Daniel Cormier side of this is he's the belt holder. He lost to John Jones already, and he has tried every which way to insult John Jones and get under his skin. I actually really liked John Jones's demeanor today. I thought he was really relaxed. I thought he took the questions, and I thought he didn't get too aggravated until the standoff when he took his shirt off, and then things got kind of heated. But I really liked that Cormier's throwing a lot of verbal javelins, and John Jones is kind of sitting there and taking it. It seems like these two guys understand they hate each other, and they're totally fine with that.
Yeah, no, I think you put it well. And for Daniel Cormier, he has always said that when it's a rivalry-type fight and there is legitimate animosity, and make no mistake about it, these guys aren't going to bury any hatchet. I'd be shocked if they embrace after this fight. But Daniel feels like that motivates him more in training and really propels his training camp to be the best training camp that he's ever had. But he doesn't feel like it affects him adversely in an emotional way come fight night. And given the fact that DC is 38, two-time U.S. Olympian, I do take him at his word. On the other side, for John Jones, you know, every fight he's been involved with, really since his second or third UFC fight, he's the one who's had the target on his back. He's the one who has had expectation upon expectation placed upon him. He's the guy who everybody says is the consensus greatest mixed martial artist of all time. And largely, he's risen above that pressure. I mean, some performances have been cleaner than others, but I expect John to bottle any emotions that he has and perform very well here on Saturday night. And if you talk to John Jones, too, I mean, I tried to get him going a little bit on the phone yesterday. I said, is a decision enough, right? I mean, don't you have to separate DC from consciousness to actually get the finality and the closure that you're looking for? And he said, hey, man, I'm looking to get the win. I have a strong conviction that I'm going to be able to finish this guy, but I'm just looking to get a win. And the fact that he didn't take that bait from me was particularly telling. I think his head could not be in a better place, and we'll see if that produces the desired result Saturday night.
Now, he mentioned today at the press conference that he had gotten really heavily into weightlifting, and we talked to a couple of reporters last week who said the same thing, that John Jones just got too crazy in the gym, and he thought it was going to make him look be a better fighter. It just made him look better. It didn't make him actually a better fighter, and now he's much more flexible, and he's taken his camp a lot more serious, and he now, as one reporter told us last week, John Jones now cares, and that's extremely scary for anybody in the light heavyweight or heavyweight division. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that is the truth. I mean, he used to be very dismissive of the greatest of all time talk when I would bring it up. You know, after he beat DC, I asked him about it, and he just did not want to go down that road and have that conversation. Yesterday, he was more than willing to have that conversation, and I think he is getting to a point where he does want to go down as the greatest MMA fighter of all time. He doesn't know how long he's going to do this, but he does want a legacy that has him as the number one guy of all time. And that's also telling to me that he does care about that. And as far as the weightlifting is concerned, I think he was just looking for something to channel his energy towards, right? Mm-hmm. He couldn't fight, and I think that's what he put a lot of his energy and his effort into. But a lot of people are going to denigrate his performance against Ovin St. Preux, which was his last fight in April of 2016, I believe. And I thought it was a pretty clean effort out of him, man. I mean, he barely got touched over 25 minutes against a tricky guy to prepare for in Ovin St. Preux. I know a lot of people want to sort of take that performance and run with it and say John Jones just didn't look right. But as far as I'm concerned, you're in there 25 minutes against the top 10 light heavyweight and you don't get touched. You're doing something right. So I expect a fully primed John Jones to turn in another outstanding performance Saturday night. I really do.
Yeah, but even John Jones knew during that fight, he apologized on the mic after the fight was over, saying, sorry, guys, that wasn't my best effort. So he even knew that it wasn't a typical John Jones event, and we all thought that was the tune-up for UFC 200 against Daniel Cormier. But I was a little surprised to hear John Jones today even utter the word Brock Lesnar. I thought that would be sort of like off his mind, and yet he did kind of acknowledge that is in the air right now, and Lesnar could be the next opponent for John Jones at heavyweight. If he wins Saturday night, do you think that's the next step for John Jones?
Well, it seems to have some legs, and both guys seem to want the fight and are now, to whatever degree, promoting it publicly. But I would think for John Jones and his legacy, he might be more interested in a fight with Stipe Miocic, our current UFC heavyweight champion. And the fact that Cain Velasquez is hurt might potentially open up a door for John. It's not like you have this long list of heavyweight top contenders that haven't had their shot against Stipe. So I think both of those fights have legs. But we've been talking about John Jones, Matt, and you know this. I don't have to tell you. Moving up to heavyweight since the middle of his UFC career. So I am expecting that eventually John Jones will move up. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when. And I think you can make few bigger fights than Lesnar versus John Jones. So a sideshow and a spectacle to some, but I'd be more than willing to crack a mic for that one.
Yes, and that would be the next mega fight. And as we have Mayweather-McGregor coming up here in a month in Vegas, and then you have, who knows, coming up down the pike between John Jones and Brock Lesnar. You mentioned the Stipe fight. Are we going to see this as becoming a norm where guys who have one belt in one class want to hold the belt in two, or hold a belt in two different weight classes in the UFC?
Well, I think it's certainly of interest to a lot of guys, but there just aren't that many guys who I think are capable of doing it. You know, Kelvin Gastelum is a guy who lost to Chris Weidman in our main event last week. A lot of people felt like he could be a champion at 170 pounds or 185 pounds, and after seeing him at 5'9 against a world-class middleweight who's 6'2, maybe people have some pause when it comes to that. Frankie Edgar, in all likelihood, is going to get another crack before the year is out to become a two-division champion if he fights Max Holloway. But I think it's easier said than done. I think guys like Daniel Cormier, who has gone 13-0 at heavyweight, and guys like John Jones who have a frame that they could add muscle to. I think it's intriguing to start to think about those two guys becoming two-division UFC champions, but I think it's a pipe dream for a lot of guys, and I just don't know that a lot of guys, it sounds great, and even a guy like Donald Cerrone who fights this weekend who has had wild success at 170 pounds, I'm not sure that many people fancy him a future welterweight champion. We'll see, but I think it's less than 10 men and women combined who really would have that opportunity and would be able to actually finish the job.
Yeah, the Lawler-Cerrone fight is going to be a tremendous one as well. On this pay-per-view card, it's going to be tremendous. Cyborg in action, Tyron Woodley in action. I mean, it's just an unbelievable card. But tell me this. Tell me that, and I'm holding my breath here on this because we've all waited for this for too long for this fight to go off, but Cormier is going to make weight. Tell me that Cormier is making weight.
Oh, Matt, you're putting me on the spot, bro. I mean, Cormier, as some of your listeners may know, is my good friend and my broadcast partner, and all indications are that DC is going to make weight. And I did speak to him yesterday, and he did say, and we were going to save this for the pay-per-view, but I'll let you know, he felt like the Anthony Rumble Johnson fight, his last one. There was a clear path to victory. It was to push the pace, put Rumble where he was uncomfortable. And because he felt so confident going in there, it was a difficult weight cut, and maybe he wasn't in the shape of his life. Well, against John Jones, there's no clear path to victory, so you have no choice but to try to make the things you can control, like the weight cut, easy. So DC has tried to make it easy. He is certainly under the weight he was on Wednesday of fight week when he fought Rumble, but you just never know what happens Friday morning. So I'll be watching with bated breath like the rest of you guys and hoping that he hits that scale, you know, 9:30 Pacific time on Friday morning without issue. But I guess I would say I am cautiously optimistic that Cormier will hit 205 and not 206.2.
Please, 205. Just please give me 205. Please. He is John Anik. He's the voice of the UFC. Listen, bud, congrats on all your success, man. I love watching you. I love your story. It's phenomenal. Congratulations on everything. Can't wait to watch and listen to you guys on Saturday night.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you for having me on.
That is John Anik. He's the voice of the UFC joining us here on Game Night. Definitely check it out. It is going to be an outstanding pay-per-view card. And look, there should be big buzz. There is, but there should be a bigger buzz for this card. It is absolutely outstanding for the UFC. And I've been pretty critical. If you heard this show, I've been critical of the UFC in 2017. This is, from a fight fan perspective, a combat sports fan perspective, this is as good as it gets on a Saturday night. It is Game Night. Much more to come. ESPN Nation Radio.